All right, well, in the meantime, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Today we're going to study the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment. And some of you who have the Ten Commandments memorized or familiar enough with them, some of you know what that is. Some of you, if you've been listening and paying attention to the service so far, you've heard the connections already in the service to what we're going to be reading. In Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your employees, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. You know, America is a nation of really hardworking people. The American spirit is a spirit of rugged independence, tough men, tough women, making the world go round by their relentless hard work and innovation and productivity. It's an amazing thing to consider just how many incredible things the people of our nation have accomplished over the 200 plus years that our nation has existed. And it's amazing to think of the things that our people continue to accomplish every day, week in, week out. In fact, as Americans, we tend to proudly define ourselves as a people who are known for our hard work, known for our innovation and productivity and our accomplishments. And that's the way we view ourselves. We view ourselves as a nation of hardworking men and women who we think we set the standard for the rest of the world to try to catch up to, right? There's our pride talking there a little bit. In fact, we even, in our pride, we even ridicule and kind of scorn other nations where people take way more weeks of vacation every year than we Americans do. Because, of course, we think, well, maybe they're just, they take that many weeks because they're lazy. And they're unproductive. While under our breath, we're at the same time thinking, well, I wish I could get 8 weeks a year. Because underneath the pride of being hardworking people is an exhaustion that is desperate for the pace to relent so that we can catch our breath. Deep down, we are just dying to slow down and to take a break. See, American work culture is not structured to slow down very much. It is relentless. And yet, we are our own worst enemy about this. We add to that. We're a lot like exhausted swimmers in a strong current of a river. We're getting swept downstream and we're fighting just to keep our heads above the water. But at the same time, in all our exhaustion of trying to keep up with just the current of the work pace that we're on, at the same time, we're like swimmers who don't dare stop swimming, don't dare stop take a breath, because we have to try to outswim everybody else so we don't fall behind. Not only do our jobs require our lifeblood, but we're simultaneously desperate for this sense of self-worth and significance that comes from accomplishments and money and success. We're desperate for that kind of significance and self-worth. But that desperation doesn't stop when we clock out of work day after day. You know what it does? That desperation follows us home, where we are also far, far busier than we ought to be. We feel this relentless pressure to keep ourselves as busy as possible with as many productive extracurricular activities as we possibly can. We are crazy busy. And we complain at the same time that we never stop. We never stop. That we're exhausted and we're strung out. But when we do finally stop, here, watch this. When we do finally stop, what happens? We don't know how to. We don't know how to stop. We don't know how to rest. Because what happens? What do you feel when you stop and rest? Guilty. You feel guilty, right? You have this sense of guilt that, well, I'm not doing something. I'm not being productive. There's so much to be done. The to-do list is never-ending. There's always things being added to it, and I can't stop. I feel guilty. And so we fill our time right back up with busyness. But what if I were to tell you that one of the most important and actually most significant things that you could do every week is to stop being productive? That stopping your activity and stopping your productivity might be the most significant thing you actually do all week. That's what I believe is at the heart of the fourth commandment. Like every one of the Ten Commandments, God gave the fourth commandment for our good, friends. It's for our good. To bless us. He gave us the fourth commandment to bless us, to protect us. He gave it to us to cause our lives to flourish. God didn't give us this commandment to crush us under His thumb or His heel. He gave it to us to cause us to flourish. God never meant the fourth commandment to be a burden. He always meant it to be a blessing to our lives. Listen, every one of us needs to embrace the fourth commandment as a gift from God, and we need to do it for two significant reasons. So two main points today. Number one, the first reason you should embrace this as a gift from God. The Sabbath is designed to help us become physically and mentally rested. Physically and mentally rested. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, your livestock, or the sojourner who's within your gates, the people visiting with you. Now, for a lot of people, Sabbath is just an ancient word for a day of the week that's not really something to actually be practiced. But let me tell you a little bit about this word, Sabbath. Sabbath is the English way of pronouncing an ancient Hebrew word. It's the word Shabbat. Shabbat. And here's what it means. It means stopping. Ceasing. Sabbath is a stopping day. stopping to rest. One Sabbath day, about 2,000 years ago, the Pharisees asked Jesus Christ why his disciples were picking grain to eat as they were walking through a wheat field. Get the picture. They're pulling the grain off. They're kind of rubbing in their hands, getting the chaff off and the shell, and they're eating the meat of the grain, as it were, the nut in there. They're eating it, just eating it. It's like a snack. And the Pharisees are asking, why are your men doing this? Because the Pharisees had these rules that said you can't do any work whatsoever. You can't even rub the grain in your hand to eat a snack, right? You couldn't even, as here in the deep south, you can't even crack a peanut open and eat the nut out. That's the idea. Here's what Jesus said back to them. He said in Mark 2:27, he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Do you get that? It's a gift. The Sabbath was made for mankind. It's not until you grasp the meaning of that little bitty preposition for, F-O-R, it's not until you grasp that little preposition that you begin to see the Sabbath as a gift to you, to your life. For man. So let me give you a couple supporting ideas here for this first point. Resting is for our restoration. Resting is for our restoration. For a lot of people, Sabbath has legalistic connotations, okay? Maybe it does for you. Maybe that's the first thing you think of. You hear the word Sabbath, and you start thinking legalistic connotations. And what that does, here's what that does for us. That either makes us really legalistic, or it makes us write the day off completely. And we just react to it. We just write the Sabbath off entirely. But here's the thing. Practicing the gift of rest is not something our Savior wants us to do out of guilt. He wants us to realize that it's a gracious gift from God to give us a break, right? It's a gift to give us a break from the relentless demands of this world and the relentless demands of our work. You know what it is? It's the gift of freedom. Sabbath is a gift of freedom. Freedom from striving. Freedom from productivity. Freedom to do things that are life-giving instead of life-draining. That's what it's a gift for. And so taking a day of rest, listen, it doesn't mean you have to sit around and do nothing and just twiddle your thumbs and stare at the wall. That's not what it means. Some legalistic approaches to Sabbath do end up treating the day that way or would restrict you to that kind of day. I'm being a little exaggerating here, twiddling your thumbs and staring at the wall. But some legalistic approaches would kind of lean that way, or that's the image we would have from it. This is a day of utter boredom. And Lord knows, that's our greatest enemy, isn't it? Boredom. But what it should mean for us is that we are not doing any of the usual work that we do the other 6 days of the week. That's what it means. It's not that you sit and do nothing. It just means that you don't do the usual work you do the other days of the week. That's what it should mean to us, so that we can get physical rest, so that we can get mentally renewed, right? And we say this all the time, I just need a break. Tim Keller, the pastor from New York City, said, very well. He said, the Sabbath is about restoring the diminished. It's about replenishing the drained. It's about repairing the broken. It's not just an off day. It's more than that. See, if you're stressed, think about this. If you're stressed out and unhealthy, and you are not feeling well physically, mentally, you just feel stressed out you're not feeling well, you're worried about maybe your heart, your blood pressure, and all your numbers, and you go to the doctor. Let's just say this, you go to the doctor. And after all the tests and examining you, the doctor turns to you and says, okay, here's what you need to do. You need to start exercising, and you need to change your diet, and you need to change your sleep schedule and get some rest. That's my prescription for you. Now, you'd be a fool if you started arguing with the doctor by telling the doctor, what right do you have to impose your rules and your convictions on me and my life? And the doctor's going to, and you start saying, wait a minute, I'm a hardworking American. I need to be productive. The doctor's going to look at you, and he's going to say, are you crazy? I'm not imposing my rules and convictions on you. I'm trying to help you get better. And that's what the Sabbath is from God to us. See, the benefits of taking a day off each week to rest, you know, it won't become clear to you. Those benefits won't become clear to you until you start doing it. You got to take a step of faith. It's like with exercise and changing your diet and being healthy. That's not going to fix me. Oh, yeah? Why don't you try it? And then you'll see. And it's not until you take this gift from God seriously and actually do it, not until then will you see it's good for your life. It's benefits for your life. Sabbath, hear this word I'm about to use. Sabbath is an opportunity to rest. I mean, think about it this way. It's a weekly holiday from God. It's a weekly vacation. This is God's idea. It's God's gift. It's an opportunity to rest from the pressure of the world to constantly accomplish and constantly earn and constantly solve and spend and do. It's a break from that. It's a day to take a break. It's a day to step back. Just like God did. Just like God did on the seventh day of creation, and step back and enjoy the fruit of your labor. It's a day to look at your life, to look at your work, and to look at the cross of Jesus and say, it's enough. One more quote from Tim Keller. He says it really well. He says, the purpose of Sabbath is not simply to rejuvenate yourself in order to do more production, nor is it to be the pursuit of pleasure. The purpose of Sabbath is to enjoy your God, enjoy life in general, and enjoy what you have accomplished in the world through His help, and enjoy the freedom you have in the gospel. The freedom from slavery to any material object or to any human expectation. Freedom. And that's exactly what God did when He rested on the seventh day of creation. So this next idea here is resting is not only for our restoration, but resting is God-like. Resting is God-like. Look at verse 11. Exodus 20, verse 11 says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. So here's the deal. When we take a day of rest each week, we imitate God Himself. We imitate God Himself. And that is at the heart of this commandment. That's the heart of this commandment. I mean, could there possibly be a stronger example for us to follow for resting one day a week than the example of God Himself? And the Creator of the world. You realize what He did when He rested on the seventh day? He set a pattern for the use of our time, a pattern for time to follow a rhythm. A rhythm that his creatures, you and I, are to follow. God's own personal pattern was working 6 days and resting on the seventh. It's God's own personal pattern. And his pattern is meant to be our pattern. I mean, the way that God ordered his own time is the way we are to order our time. See, we say Jesus is Lord of our lives. He's Lord of this, he's Lord of that. But is he Lord of our time? The way our time works? Is he Lord of our schedule? Is Jesus first in that? We preached a message on this some weeks ago. Jesus first in our schedule. God's pattern is to be our pattern. This is what discipleship is by definition. It's imitating our Lord. And so 6 and 1 is the rhythm. 6 and 1, right? Jeff on the drums. 6 and 1 is the rhythm. You're our rhythm man. You got to keep the beat. What happens when you stop keeping the beat? Well, the song goes haywire. People get off the rhythm. Well, that's what a lot of what our lives are like right now. We're way off rhythm. It's haywire. We're stressed out, strung out, crazy busy, because we don't respect the rhythm. We don't play to the rhythm. That's the rhythm God kept. He's the drummer, see? He's the one who sets the time. And it's the rhythm we're to follow. So God, think about this. God made us in his image. We're not made in our own image. We love to make ourselves in our own image, for sure. That's called idolatry. But God made us in his image. And he made us to follow the same pattern he kept in order for our lives to function properly. He didn't make us to go, 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 nonstop. He made us to go for 6 days and stop one, and go for 6 days and stop one, and go for 6 days and stop one. That's how he made us. That's what he made us for. It's just like the doctor telling us how to get better. Working, then resting, weekly, is God's prescription for our good. This is the way God made us. And God's own example, see, it's God's own example. It does away with this idea when we say, well, I don't really need a day off. Well, understand something. God didn't rest because he was tired. You understand that? No, God is almighty. He is omnipotent. He can't possibly wear himself out. Why did God rest on the seventh day? You know why? Because God could. And because it's good. He did it to enjoy the fruit of his labors. Not because he needed to, but because he wanted joy. Not that he didn't have it before, but he wanted to express joy and revel in the joy of his own creation. The goodness of it. Number 2. The Sabbath is designed to help us become spiritually stronger as well. Spiritually stronger. Notice the very first words and the very last words about this commandment that God spoke audibly. Verse 8, here's the first words. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now look at the last words in the end of verse 11. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Like, not only, so it's like bookends that just surround this whole idea of the Sabbath. He made it holy. So not only, think about this. So not only is Sabbath a stopping day, Sabbath is also a do something different day. So it's not just a do nothing day, it's a do something different day. God, on the one hand, wants us to stop our normal activities of work and recreation and set aside a day to do something special, something holy. Sabbath is a day God said he is especially blessed. Did you catch that at the end of verse 11? The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. It's a day he's blessed for something special, something holy, something spiritual. When God says those words, keep it holy, that means simply doing something with the day that's especially holy. Keep it holy, in other words, means give special attention to holiness one day a week. Now, we're to be giving attention to holiness every day of the week, but give special attention to holiness one day a week, every week. So, hey, see, do you understand that? That having a day off is every week is not an end in itself. That's not the ultimate purpose. It's to be holy. Meaning a day set apart from all the other 6 days to focus on the Lord. That's what it means. To worship the Lord and to grow in the Lord. Set it apart for that. That starts with the understanding that simply taking one day every week off to rest and worship, that is actually a spiritual step. To take a day off every week to rest and worship is a spiritual step to take in your life. It's an act of spiritual growth, spiritual obedience. In fact, just an idea supporting here is that resting is an act of faith and obedience. Do you hear that? Resting is an act of faith and obedience. Let's take that backwards. First of all, resting is an act of obedience to the Lord when we take this commandment seriously and actually take one day off each week to rest and worship and not work. It's an act of obedience. In other words, we do it because God said to. We do it because God said to. But there are some other ways that this can also be an act of obedience. For example, we go a lot of directions with this, but I'll just give you this one way how this can be an act of obedience. It's tempting to think that, quote, losing one day a week is going to cut deeply into your life's ambitions or the ambitions you have for your children. Or it's going to cut deeply into your money, your profit, your income. Taking a day off, it's going to hurt. I mean, you may think that resting one day a week, man, that's costly. That's a sacrifice. But if that's what you feel, you are looking at it completely backwards. Because not only is a day of rest not supposed to feel like a sacrifice, it's supposed to feel like a benefit. But furthermore, resting one day a week will actually help you break free from some sins that often drive us to the breaking point of frustration and emptiness. In particular, taking a day off each week to rest, you know what it does? It undercuts our selfish ambitions, whether it's work or play, and it undercuts our greed for money. And what it does is it makes us lay down our personal agendas for our use of time, for ourselves and our family, and submit to the pattern of time that God has called us to conform to, the pattern being 6 days and one. 6 days and one. And if greed is the issue for you, then taking a day to rest and to not earn money, you know what that does? You know what that helps us with? It helps us stop serving money instead of the Lord. You cannot serve God and money. You will love one and hate the other. Not only that, taking a day off each week to not work and do the usual things, it helps us stop worrying and being afraid that we can't afford to take times off, or things are going to go crazy and get out of control. Things are going to fall apart if I take a day off. It delivers us from that worry. And that's actually how taking a day off to rest is an act of faith. It's an act of faith to take a day off to rest. It's an act of faith that the Lord is going to take care of you while you obey Him on this day and you rest for a day. He's going to take care of you through the work you've done the other 6 days. He's going to provide for you. And if you need a lesson in that, remember the story of the Israelites in the wilderness when God gave them the manna 6 days, not the seventh. He gave them enough in 6 days to get them through the seventh day of not needing to produce for themselves meals. God gave. And when you do that, you are seeking first the kingdom of God to provide all that you need. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 12:28. Oh, you of little faith. If God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you? So trusting God to be my provider, what that does, it sets me free from the fear that things are going to get out of control if I take time off. And until you trust God like that, and trust God for that, you'll never feel the freedom to rest. But when you do trust God like that, when you trust that God is in control and you're not, you begin to be able to say, I don't have to do it all. And that is such a relief. Such a relief. It's really liberating. And that's when your soul can finally rest. That's when your soul finally stops fretting. One more idea under number two is that resting helps us be satisfied in the Lord. Resting helps us be satisfied in the Lord. In the Old Testament, maybe you've been wondering this the whole time if I want to address this. Here it is. That the day of rest in the Old Testament was Saturdays. But in the New Testament, the apostles changed the day of rest to Sunday because that's the day Jesus rose from the dead. That's why they changed it. It's Resurrection Day, Sunday. Which, by the way, is next Sunday we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. It's on a Sunday. Then the apostles changed it for that reason. And in fact, they started calling it something different. Instead of the Sabbath, they started referring to it as the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. The Lord's Day of Resurrection. And that is why we Christians worship on Sundays and not Saturdays, typically. Because so Sunday, for us, is to be a different day than all the other 6 days of the week. That includes Saturday, by the way. So it's about to be even different from Saturday. It's to be a day of worship. It's to be a day of heightened attention, not on our agendas, but on God and on godliness. Heightened attention on God and godliness. So resting and worshiping, those are the two things that happen on the Lord's Day. Resting and worshiping on Sundays not only helps us rest and recuperate from being so physically and mentally tired, but even more importantly, Sunday helps us be spiritually renewed and refreshed. That's what it's supposed to be. Sunday is for the revival of our weary souls. It's for increasing our joy in the Lord and deepening our peace in the Lord and sweetening our communion with the heart of the Lord. It's today for building up our souls through the hearing of the Scriptures being taught. It's a day for enlivening our hearts through vibrant, expressive worship. It's a day for cleansing our souls through the confession of our sins. It's a day for encouraging our hearts through the hearing and rehearsing again and again of the promises of God for us, especially the promises of God for us in the gospel. It's a day for strengthening our assurance that God really does love us. And He really does accept us through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Sunday's a day for delivering us from the self-salvation of the world, which is our typical default setting. We keep defaulting to self-salvation. That's why Sundays, that's why you need to hear the gospel every week, really every day, but especially once a week, because you keep defaulting to self-salvation. And I do too. We keep forgetting the gospel. The world is constantly telling us that if you accomplish enough, and that if you make enough money, and that if you have enough fun, and if you accumulate enough fame, then you'll be accepted. You'll be okay. And deep, deep down, that's what all of us are craving, is we want to be okay. We want to be accepted. And so you know what we do? We work insanely hard to prove to the world and really to prove to ourselves that we're worthy. But the gospel tells us that our work cannot satisfy us and our work cannot save us. Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy us. And He's the only one who can save us or accept us just as we are, failures and non-accomplishments, all that we have. All that we are, all that we're not. He's the only one who can accept us just as we are, totally. And He gives what the world is so desperately craving. He gives what you and I are so desperately craving. And He gives it to us for free. In fact, He said that the salvation He gives is actually called, you ready for this? The salvation He gives is called rest for your souls. It's what it's called, because that's what it is. It's rest from sin and all the guilt and brokenness and twistedness that it does to our insides and to our lives and the consequences that we produce from our sinning. And it's rest from working so insanely hard to save ourselves. Listen, when we rest, what we're saying to ourselves and what we're saying to the world, when we actually stop on day 7 of the week, and we rest, we are saying to ourselves and to the world, I don't need to work because I'm okay. I'm satisfied. It's not my work that's saving me. Jesus is. And that's how faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ helps us embrace God's gift of rest. The gospel gives us rest. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the fourth commandment, which so many of us have been afraid of. When we read it or when we think of it, it's a dread to our minds because of legalistic connotations that either others have imposed on us or that we have conjured up in our own thinking. Lord, today, set us free. Set us free to rest. And to receive the gift of rest, just like we receive the gift of salvation, by faith. Father, will You please deliver us from all of our guilt-driven, worry-driven, pride-driven efforts at self-salvation, proving our self-worth, how responsible we are, or how successful we are, or pray that you would deliver us, and that you would today, would you give us freedom to rest and worship, keeping the rhythm that you've set for our time and our schedules. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways, for the many, many times that we have found better things to do than worship you and rest on the Lord's Day. In our minds, better things to do when they're not. Distractions, personal agendas, greed, whatever. Help us to confess it now and to stop. Even on this stopping day, help us to stop. Help us to stop our running. Help us to stop the drive, the worldly drive within us to keep running all the time, nonstop. Because whatever cravings are in us, deliver us from these, Jesus. These are just enslavements, and they are wearing us out. Deliver us from the slavery of the idols we serve, and deliver us into the freedom of rest for our souls that's found in the finished work of Jesus Christ in the gospel. Cause us today, even as we sing this song, help us, help our strivings to cease and to rest in Christ alone. For it's in His name we pray it. Amen.